Let me remind you of a couple of things. One is to be sure and sign the service register. Didn't think I would forget that, I'm sure. Sign that so that we know that you are here, and as always, we appreciate you taking the time to do that. And I do also want to mention that the lay renewal team that's been with us for the celebration will be leaving shortly after a lunch that we have for them after the service, but our celebration will continue. Everyone is invited back tonight. It'll be just us. For dessert at 6:30 in the fellowship hall, and then we're going to spend some time together singing and praying and have another small group, and then have a time of reflection, and there'll be a time for adults and a time for children as well. So that'll start with the dessert at 6:30, and then the service of reflection will start tonight at 7. And even if you hadn't been able to attend very much or any of the celebration, you're more than invited and welcome to come tonight. So mark that on your calendars. Lay Renewal Ministries has been around since 1954, and they have done things like this celebration all over the country, all over the world, maybe not Antarctica, but in other places where people are. And so they've enjoyed a very fruitful ministry, and wherever you go, you can find someone that knows someone who's connected with Lay Renewal Ministries. And so the folks that are here are all from the Midwest, from Hannibal and St. Louis and Warrenton and Arnold, Missouri. But there's people all over the country that come and do these things for churches, and it's all headed up by Lay Renewal Ministries. We have been doing what's called a celebration of purpose. And I want to introduce to you our speaker this morning, who's going to take over, as he's done so well for the whole weekend, Marty Guise. Marty Guise is the director of Lay Renewal Ministries. This is his 13th or 14th year to be the director, and he lives in St. Louis, and so we are glad you're here, and why don't you come forward now.
See, it does work when you put it on and don't yank it off. And little technicalities, you know. So the guys in the sound crew have been pretty awesome all weekend, so it's always amazing when you have to deal with people who aren't used to having mics and things like that, and we like to wave them around, but those guys have been really good at making sure everybody could hear. Do we need to dismiss the kids? Okay. Yes. The children are going to go downstairs. I love how quickly they run out. Yes, freedom! Oh, sorry. Before I share a message, would like to ask Rob Fishbein to come up and share a little bit of, for those of you who, if you haven't been to different parts of the weekend, we've just been sharing testimonies of how God has moved in our lives. And I asked Rob this morning, he volunteered so kindly as I ran into him out in the hall and said, would you come up and share a few words? And he said yes. So I'd just like Rob to share a little testimony.
Our relationship, Marty, has really developed to the point where you can load a gun 15 minutes before the service and allow me to shoot it anywhere I want. I would like to share a little bit about our group, my time this morning with the young adults Sunday school class. I was incredibly blessed by that group, this church. I'm very hopeful for the future of this church because of the future leaders in that group and because of the people who are raising up the next level of leadership. I wanted to share a little bit about the end of our discussion today and do that by way of a story. I am from St. Louis. I realize there's a bunch of Cub fans here, but I'm a big Cardinal fan. And a few years ago, I was in Boston, and there was a book that was written by Buzz Bissinger about Tony La Russa, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, where he followed him around for 3 nights for a series against the Cubs, and he wrote about that experience. And I just bought the book, and we were in Boston at a convention, and my wife noticed in the mall next to the hotel we were staying that the author of the book and Tony La Russa were going to be in that mall signing copies of the book. So I grabbed my copy and ran down there, expecting there to be a long line. It was Boston, and I was it. I was the line. It was me, the author, and the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. And I got a lot of time with these guys. They signed my book, and I noticed they had 25 copies of the book left. I thought, what a great Christmas present. Nobody in St. Louis is ever going to be able to get a signed copy of this book. So I had the author and Tony sign 25 copies of the book. We mailed it back to St. Louis, and I gave him away his Christmas presents. Before I left, Tony says, you know, I really appreciate this. I'd sure like your business card. My daughter is going to be in St. Louis dancing in this performance, and I'd like you and your family to come and be my guests. So I gave him my card, never expecting I would ever hear from him. 2 weeks later, I get a voice message from Tony La Russa, the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals, greatest team in America. I'd sure like you. I want you all to come and be my guests, but I need to know how many tickets to leave for you. Here's my cell phone number. I now have the cell phone number of the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals. I dial it real quick and never expecting to get him. Sure enough, I get Tony. He's sitting in the dugout at Coors Field in Denver getting ready for the game. And he said, I said, I didn't want to bother you, but I'd like 5 tickets to the performance. He says, great. We talked. We went to the performance. The long and the short of it is, I've told this story about 100 times. I got a new audience to tell it to here. At the end of our discussion this morning, we came to the conclusion that we are so free about telling stories like that. We're free about recommending books. We're free about recommending movies and restaurants. But we as Christians have an intimate and personal relationship with the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, He who set the stars in place, He who is coming again, He who died, rolled that stone away, and rose again. We have a personal and intimate relationship with this Lord. We know Him. We have grown in Him. And yet we're so reluctant to go out and tell the world about Him. I thought it was great. We ended with tears. I'm so thankful to my sister Cindy for sharing that with us. And I just want to encourage us all, myself included, just to go. We know, and we're growing. And I'll be praying for this church as we leave here, and we'll never forget this weekend. Thank you all very much.
Thanks, Rob. And I'm still waiting for my Christmas present, by the way. Or just his cell phone number would be fine. I'm flexible. And that's one of the good things about just, you know, being willing to. Sorry. I'd like to share a little bit this morning. When I come on renewal events, my watch battery died last night. And so I'm going to put this on here. I'm not expecting any calls. And it's on silent. So if it rings, it's God. So be prepared. I always work on a message, as one would hope, before I come on a renewal event. And sometimes I'm able to give that message, and sometimes I'm not. And I haven't been very comfortable with the one that I'd written. And then yesterday at the coffee, as we were talking, I see Maurice there. I don't know if Greg, if you're here somewhere, but and Doc, and just everybody that was there at our coffee, we were just talking, and I kind of did some rewriting yesterday on my message, and so we're going to see where this takes us. But I'd like to begin in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. So if you open up your Bibles to Matthew 16, we'll start in verse 13. Hi, how's it going back there? Yeah, I'll just preach to the choir this morning. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Would you pray with me? Father God, we just want to ask that we would be able to focus on you and your word in these next few minutes. Lord, that our hearts would be drawn in by your word. And Father, let anything I say just pass away, but let your truth take root and grow. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have any of you ever been told to get your life together? No? Good. Well, you guys are perfect. This is awesome. All right. Amen. Sorry. Have any of you ever wanted to get your life together? Maybe that's a better question. There are things that you just feel like, if only I could have this in place, if only this would come together. I've talked to some people before that, you know, you talk to them about their personal relationship with Jesus. And say, well, as soon as I fix this, as soon as I take care of that, then I'll be ready. And the truth is, we'll never be perfect. We'll never be completely ready. But there are some things that we need to get together. God calls us into relationship with Him. God calls us, which is kind of cool. So we must live out that relationship. And sticking with our theme this weekend, I'm going to talk about how we can live out that relationship in knowledge, in growth, and in action. Knowing, growing, and going. So we see here in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." Simon knew who Jesus was because God had revealed it to him. God had called Simon to be one of his own. And he had put that on his heart. There were a lot of people who thought they'd figured out who Jesus was. They thought, well, he must be some sort of Jeremiah, come back. He must be John the Baptist. He must be Elijah. Those people didn't know the real Jesus. In John chapter 11, there's an interesting conversation between Martha and Jesus. And this is just after Lazarus has died. And Jesus, for some reason, I mean, we know why, but for them, for some reason, Jesus didn't come immediately. And so in this discussion, Martha says to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." That's an interesting statement. God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that?" The first part of knowing and growing and going is obviously knowing. And the question that is here is, do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was God? Is God? That He came to this earth, led a sinless, perfect life. He died on the cross. His blood was shed for you and for me. Now, I know we're all here, so we must believe that, right? But there's a difference between knowing and knowing. And if you're wondering in your heart, is it true? Is it real? It is. If you are going to go forward in anything, in your faith walk, in any sort of outreach, in any sort of mission as the church, you need to be able to answer as Martha did. "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." You need to know that with all of your heart, your mind and everything that is in you. It is true. It is truth. And how about growing? We've talked in the groups this weekend about growing. And one of the groups, I said, would you be happy if you stood up here and you got married? And then I now pronounce you husband and wife. And I kiss the bride. You kiss. And then he goes that way and she goes that way. They get in different cars and they head different directions. And they never see each other again. Sounds a little silly, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I'll answer for you. Yes, it does. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. But there are many people who come to church and they say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. I believe. But they never bother to pursue that relationship. They never bother to spend time with the one who loves them completely, who loves them enough to die on the cross for them. We have to grow. And we won't be perfect. At our coffee, we talked about what happened to Peter next. Back in Matthew chapter 16. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. That'd be hard to hear. Jesus was their friend. He was their teacher. And yet he said, I'm going to die soon. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Now, you could take that as a friend standing up for another friend. But Jesus didn't take it that way. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. When we try to impose our will on God, it's not going to go anywhere. God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. He has things that He is calling us to do, and we must do them. And to do them effectively, we must grow in our faith. The end of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew 28, is the Great Commission, which I'm sure most of you have heard. You may be able to quote it. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. These pews are pretty comfortable. I've enjoyed my little corners up here, my row, almost all to myself the entire weekend. I had a few people who came down last night. But I mean, you could be comfortable sitting here for quite a while, right? But if that's it, if all you're going for is a nice, comfortable seat, then you're missing out on the joy of the Christian life. How are those choir chairs? I didn't get to sit in those. They look comfortable. Little padding. So, if that's it, how sad life would be. There's an expression in it was in rabbinical teaching. It was kind of a blessing that they would tell students. They would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And your rabbi was your teacher. And as you would walk along, you would want to hear everything that that rabbi said. And of course, they didn't have nice paved sidewalks and everything. So as they walked, these people would be following their rabbi. And There are a few country roads around here, right? Ever driven behind somebody on a country road? What do you try to do? Try to put a lot of space. Otherwise, you won't be able to see. Your car gets covered in dust. But they said, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May you follow so closely behind your rabbi, hearing every word, listening to everything, absorbing everything, that you are just covered in the dust of your rabbi. That is Christian growth. It's one thing to know, it's another thing to grow. And I want to challenge you that after this weekend, you seek to be covered in the dust of your rabbi. You seek to be filthy with Jesus. Have him over every part of your life, every part of your being. In the book of Acts, we have the Apostle Luke sharing with us what Jesus had said as he ascended into heaven. In chapter 1, do not leave Jerusalem for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. Wait for it. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Again, still wanting what they wanted. And Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or dates my Father has set by his own authority. So don't worry. There's an assurance that you don't have to know everything. There are some things that we won't know. But we need to seek out as much as we possibly can. But then Jesus said to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. Let me paraphrase. You will be my witnesses in Anna and in Jonesboro and in Carbondale and in Illinois and in Missouri and in the United States and to the ends of the earth. This is God's word. Jesus didn't pull punches. He is calling you to know him, to grow in him, and to go. You have people around you who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have opportunities to share your faith. Sometimes you'll just plant a seed. Sometimes you'll water a seed that's been planted. And sometimes you'll have the blessing of seeing the harvest as somebody accepts the Lord. My best friend in high school, Ryan, who's also the best man at my wedding, we were in high school doing all the things you're not supposed to do. And he stopped doing those things. You looking guilty? No, sorry, just kidding. He stopped doing those things. And why? I was the good one, okay? I was the one. I'd actually been on mission trips. I used to volunteer with Habitat. I'd been down to El Salvador a couple times. I'd lived there for a month. I went to church sometimes. I was the good one. And yet he stopped doing these things that we had all been doing. And I wanted to know why. And I found out that he'd been going to church. Which seems strange to me because I'd done that before. Been there, done that. You know? But I went that Sunday morning and I heard that I could have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because I'd grown up a Lutheraholic. My mom was Lutheran, my dad was Catholic. So I was a Lutheraholic. And then when they divorced, I became a Unitarian. Because my mom started going to a unity gathering, and my dad started going to a Presbyterian church. So I moved from Lutheraholicism to Unitarianism. I was just a religious mutt. I mean, that's the easiest way to put it. But that Sunday morning, I heard for the first time there was a personal relationship that Jesus Christ, the Lord of the universe, actually loved me. And He wanted to have a relationship with me. And I went forward that morning. And my life has never been the same. And I want to encourage you and challenge you, if you have never made that personal commitment, I want you to make that this morning. We never know how much time we have. And I want to encourage you to give your heart to Jesus Christ's lordship over your life. And if you have done that, if He is your Lord, then I want to challenge you to grow with Him. I want to challenge you to find someone that can help disciple you. I want to encourage you to get involved in Sunday school or start a small group or plug into a small group that goes beyond Sunday morning. I want to challenge you to find opportunities to share your faith. Several of you have shared your faith stories with us this weekend. A lot of you were brave enough to come forward and take the microphone. A lot of you were incredibly chicken. But you still came forward, which was cool. I want to encourage you to grow in your faith. And I want to challenge you to go out and talk to people wherever you are. Ask people if they go to church. It can be as simple as that. Do you go to church anywhere? And if they say no, just hand them a card with First EPC's name and address on it. Hey, why don't you join us? Be my guest. I'll be at the 8:30 service next week. I'll be at the 11 o'clock service. Be my guest. Join me. Is that hard? It's a little intimidating, but it's not hard. So find ways just to reach out to people. If they say, yes, they have a church, well, that's great. That's fantastic. That's it. That's all you have to do. Evangelism can be as simple as that. Just invite them to church. You will be my witnesses in Anna, in Jonesboro, in Carbondale, go Salukis, in Illinois, in Missouri, in the United States, in the ends of the earth. God is calling you. The question is, are you going to answer? See, there was a purpose to having this phone up here besides my clock. Are you going to answer when God calls? I pray that you will. And as far as getting your life together before you do any of this stuff, Tolkien, who was the author of the Lord of the Rings books, once said, the essential task of living is to get our loves in order. Not our lives, but our loves. And I would challenge you this morning, are your loves in order? Do you love Jesus Christ with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength? Are you growing in that relationship, and are you going and sharing that with other people? Are your loves where they should be? I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out some of these cards. There's a blue card and a yellow card. Now, this may seem a little strange to you, but one is a faith response card, the yellow is a faith response card, and the blue is a faith reminder card. And if we can just play some music. And I'd like everyone to just take a moment to read these cards. I'm making my first commitment to Jesus. I'm recommitting my life to Jesus. I want to know more about becoming a Christian. I want to join a small group. I'd like to know more about LRM. I would like to talk to someone about. and you can fill out those lines. We're going to invite you to come forward and put those cards on the communion table. Nothing fancy, nothing magical. It's just taking the steps forward to make some sort of a commitment. And the blue card is something that you can keep with you. Put it up on your fridge, put it on your car dash, not in your line of vision, please. I assume no liability if you have an accident. But put it somewhere as a reminder of what you did this morning, of what God has done in your heart this weekend. And tonight, again, I want to encourage you to come back. You may be thinking, you know, I could really use a little bit of time off. Take tomorrow night off. Come back tonight and share part of your faith story. Because really, it's not your faith story. It's God's. It's what God is doing through you and through your life. So come back tonight and share your story, because it's also part of this church's story. So I want to have a few moments where you can prayerfully reflect on those cards. And then when you're ready, just come forward and set them here on the communion table. And then Pastor will close us after we have a final song.